Hello again, everybody. This is David Collins with BitNote. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you enjoy. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I've got a good show lined up for you this evening and a nice good selection of tunes. And I think I'll start things off by one that's not actually technically from a video game. Yes, I know, I'm going against the grain, the whole theme of the show. But I think I'm justified in this one as well. It's not technically from a video game. It's still from a piece of software. And it also plays into a lot of the early technology involved with making music, notably the MIDI format.
Thank you.
Well, that was a nice song, or should I say multiple songs, given the fact that it has quite a few different genres in it. That was One Stop by David Yackley. Now, I said it wasn't from a video game, but it is from something that most of you have probably heard, or used in the last while. Can you guess what it is? Microsoft Windows by Microsoft. Yes, an operating system. I just played music from an operating system, and it was actually pretty damn good music for an operating system. I mean, you know, operating systems, of course, have their chimes and a few sound effects here and there, but nothing quite like this. And the reason you probably don't recognize it is because you never actually played that music when you're actually using Microsoft Windows. I mean, some people have joked that this is the music you hear when you beat Windows, which is actually pretty fun. But no, it never actually plays. The only reason that people actually know it is because they actually found it on the, after they've installed Windows, they actually find it on the hard drive. It is at location, if you want to try it out for yourself, it's at location on the C drive at C/Windows/Media/OneStop.mid. And if you're wondering which version of Windows it's on nearly all of the modern ones. It started out on Windows 95 back in 1995. And yes, I just checked it with the most recent version of Windows, Windows 8. And that's probably the last time I'll be mentioning that OS on this program. And yes, it's been on all of them. So nearly every modern version of Windows, you got it, you got that tune on it. So, and it's on pretty much every version. So pretty neat, all right. The type of music is, you know, it's kind of nice little synthesized and everything. It's actually a MIDI file. Now, MIDI files are actually pretty interesting. Instead of storing the audio has like a set of recordings, like audio waveforms, it's actually a set of instructions. It's like sheet music. It tells you which instruments to play at which time, and then this MIDI gets played on every different computer, and then they look up which instruments to play, and it's actually the computer that actually plays their own instruments, that actually creates the actual sound and the waveforms and all the, you know, basic sine waveforms that actually provide the vibrations of the sounds we actually listen to. This means that each different computer, if they have got a different MIDI player, will actually play the sounds slightly differently, because even though the MIDI file is exactly the same, even though the instructions of the instruments they have to play is exactly the same, each computer or each MIDI player will have a slightly different library of music sound effects. So, I mean, I was playing that One Stop .mid on a Linux system, and it sounded one way. But I realized, for all you guys out there, you would want to hear it as it was meant to be heard. So the sound you just heard was played from Windows Media Player on a Windows operating system, so it's probably heard just exactly how it was intended. Yep, that's us here at BitNote. We try to keep the sound quality high. As for why the sound is there, it's probably just to test out the MIDI devices, and I'm not actually sure why it was composed. MIDIs used to be a pretty big part of video games. I mean, even old consoles used to have their own slightly different, you know, variation idea of MIDIs, where the cartridges would tell you which instructions to play, and then the sound card would try to synthesize it. But even a lot of old DOS games and PC games just had, you basically had to, when you installed the game, you had to configure the sound, whether you wanted Ad Lib or Sound Blaster, which basically determined whether or not you actually heard anything. There were all these dark menus, you know, with white text on a black background, and you kept having to choose these channels, and if you saw something that said just auto configure, you were saying hallelujah, just hope it works, because sometimes getting sound working on these old devices was real pain. But what you just heard was just a classic OneStop.mid, a classic MIDI file, and just a nice little song as well that really tries to get the emotion across of the era. So, like I said, we've started off by breaking our rule about playing music only from video games, but then again, I've broken that rule several times in the past. But I think it's time to move on to our next track, and it's kind of an interesting one. They've talked about how video games can make us feel excited or heroic, and other people have asked, can video games make me cry? But I think that one question that I think has been asked is, can video games make us depressed? And regardless of trying to answer this direct question, I think I'll be playing music from one game that I think people have said that video game has succeeded in making them feel that way. Probably maybe not the best thing to do, but don't worry, I've got some more upbeat music to end the show with. But in the meantime, this is music from quite a unique game that tries to make a bit of an artistic point. I'll just play the track and talk about the game afterwards, just to do something that completely breaks from routine.
So, that was greatly uplifting, but kind of nice groove to it, I have to say. That was from Every Day the Same Dream by Mola Industria and specifically Paolo Perdersini. The music there was by Jesse Styles, and it doesn't seem to have an actual title. So, Every Day the Same Dream. It's actually a Flash game you can play online, so it's pretty easy to play. Do a quick search from it, Every Day the Same Dream, play it and you'll be away in a hack. Actually, if you recall that game exhibition I was at a while back, that was in the Science Gallery in Trinity College Dublin, they actually had that game playing on a computer that was embedded into a teddy bear, so that was kind of interesting. So what's it about? It's kind of an interesting gist to it. You basically start up, everything's black and white, you're kind of like a standard guy who's... The graphics are very simplistic. You're a standard guy who's getting up from bed. You sort of walk into the kitchen. Your wife says, get ready for work. And it's so then you go downstairs, get in the car, drive to work. The boss talks to you. You go up to your place, find your cubicle, sit down, work. And as you're sitting at that desk, you just suddenly see the camera zoom out showing you working at a computer in a gigantic sea of people who are working at a computer. The graphics are black and white, or at least grayscale. Everything is kind of abstract, so you never see any detail or life. And as it zooms out, suddenly you find yourself back in your bedroom, undressed with the alarm going off. And so you get up, you get clothes to go to work. Your wife tells you that you better get ready for work. You go out, you go down to the elevator, you take your car, you drive to work, you talk to your boss. You find your place in your cubicle, you sit down, you work. The camera zooms out. You see everyone around you at your cubicle. And then suddenly, you're back in your bedroom. You can kind of see how this pattern repeats itself. Like I said, when it's got when it's got black and white colors and almost sort of like a 50s-esque sort of aesthetic to it, you know, in America and everything, it's kind of funny. But also kind of just depressing about how you seem to be going into the whole routine. Now, a lot of people actually think that this is about it. You know, they think that this game just teaches futility and repetition. But I personally found that there's actually a little bit of strategy. There is actually a way to beat the game. And that's kind of one of the interesting things about it, because while it seems to be teaching about going in an endless cycle, if you go off the beaten track, if you try to go in a different direction, if you shake up the routine a little and come and try to see ways of doing something that's slightly different from what you normally do, suddenly the script kind of goes off track just a slight bit. And then the ending of the game, which is kind of interesting, it's hard to even describe. I'm not going to spoil it, and I'm not sure if I did spoil it, I'd be able to properly explain it anyway. But if you play the game, you realize that it's not just about, in some ways, it's just a bit about puzzle solving and trying to figure it out, but its message about it is kind of interesting. When I was at the game exhibition, I was talking to one of the attendants there, and, you know, people were saying to her, you know, what's this game about? And she said, it's about life. Honestly, I got a little depressed about that. I mean, I think that nearly everyone has this thing in their life where sometimes they're just in a routine. And I mean, like, it's a cliche to say that everyone is routine and everything and people get stuck in everything. But it is true that sometimes we do get caught up. Sometimes we figure out a system for living our life, and then we realize that sometimes that system is repeating itself. It's the very system we had for, like, getting our life in order also kind of makes our life bland and repetitive. And it's sometimes hard to actually see outside of that. Now, I'm not one of those dismal, apocalyptic, completely depressed people who says that this is all there is to life and that there's nothing more than just repetition. I mean, the very fact of the matter is I usually found one of the ways of breaking out of the routine on my first playthrough of the game. For instance, you can decide to absolutely not get dressed in the morning and just go to work and just wearing your underpants. I thought that was a pretty exceptional idea. You get fired, but apparently you suddenly find yourself in a bedroom and repaint it. But it's kind of stuff like that. I mean, I'm not saying that if you're stuck in a routine, you should go to work in your underpants. But if you do, please make a blog post and take photographs about it so the rest of us can see, because I would find something like that incredibly amusing. So, to summarize, Every Day the Same Dream. Just do a search online and you can play it in your web browser with no problems. And it's kind of nice to see. It made the rounds a while back, but it's kind of nice to see games do something a little different and kind of weird. But have a go yourself and form your own opinion on it. It's a nice game. It's an interesting game in and of itself. All right, it's time for our next music track, so I'll just play it and then talk a bit about the game it's from. You know, great. I do a whole thing talking about how routine things get and boring, and then I end up repeating one of my most commonly used cliches. I don't know. I just don't know. But I do enjoy doing the show, so don't worry about that. Well, that was a nice tune, and that track you just heard was called Spring Is in the Air by Chris Ballew, and it's from the video game Quantum Conundrum by Airtight Games. Now, if you recognize the name Chris Ballew, he's from the Presidents of the United States of America. That is the band, the Presidents of the United States of America. I don't believe he was ever actually a president. I think I'd remember that part. But essentially, they made a good few songs, and he's largely responsible for the whole soundtrack of this game. So he's got a lot of ambient themes, but he's also got one really cool song at the end of the game, which is called Flip a Switch, and I'll play that at the end of the show, trying to resurrect the tradition I have on this show of playing ending themes to end the show with, and something that I kind of had a little trouble maintaining, but don't worry, you'll hear it. So, Quantum Conundrum. It's a fun little game. It's actually, Kim Swift was actually one of the reasons it was developed. Kim Swift actually worked on the original Portal, which is a game I talked about previously. It was developed by Valve, and it's this fun puzzle physics platformer thing where essentially you have a portal gun and you shoot portals and they all hooked up. It's like kind of like wormholes. So if you have one portal on this side of the room and one on the other side, you can just walk through the portal and one step be on this other side of the room. So the Portal was a whole game about that sort of stuff. And Kim Swift ended up talking with Airtight Games, and they were interested in making another game. And she decided, you know, I feel I'd have more freedom and we could make this game if I moved to Airtight Games. And so she did. And what they developed was Quantum Conundrum, which is a very interesting game. You play a kid who's 8 or 10 years old, and your mother ends up making you stay at your uncle's house. Unfortunately, your uncle is a crazy mad scientist who's currently trapped in a pocket dimension, and because your mother wasn't even kind enough to just make sure you were okay before driving off, you suddenly find yourself abandoned in this gigantic house ended up getting locked in, while all the crazy machines, gadgets, cloning object machine things just go haywire. And meanwhile, your uncle's voice can be heard over the speaker system explaining about how he's trapped in alternate dimension and asking you ever so kindly, you know, maybe you could help out and giving you some advice to try to free yourself from the house. It's actually, it's got a nice bit of personality to it. The uncle is actually voiced by John Delancey, who's actually a pretty well-known actor, but I think I and many others most associate him with his role playing Q in Star Trek. That's, you know, the Q in Star Trek, not the Q in James Bond, which is a completely different Q altogether. And so there he is, just with his nice little personality and slightly reckless regard for your own safety, of his own nephew's safety, and as you just go along, just jump, making gigantic jumps across bottomless chasms and just trying to basically survive, well, he kind of gives you cheerful and bizarre advice about, and hints about how to solve the next puzzle, and ponderings about how the heck he ended up in this current situation. So it's kind of a good sense of humor. You've got this, you've got kind of like a normal house, but it's just everything's twisted and everything that doesn't make any sense, and you have to jump from their conveyor belts and machines and everything. And the unique mechanics of the game is you've got this glove that can basically change the properties of the world around you. They talk about dimensions, but the basic gist is, like, one mode of the glove can suddenly make everything fluffy and light, so you could, like, lift up so a safe turns into a pillow and you can lift it up. There's another one which turns everything really heavy and rigid and impenetrable by lasers, and yes, they are a bunch of lasers in this game that destroy objects, so you can see why your uncle seems to have a slight disregard for your own safety in this game. But yes, there's another one that turns everything into slow motion, which is pretty cool, because then if objects are being hurled through the air, as they are frequently in this game, you can slow everything down and then jump on them and then jump from object to object, and it's kind of like a first person platformer game. And then you got the fourth thing, will actually reverse the gravity of everything. So you could, like, stand at an object, reverse the gravity, and suddenly the object moves up like an elevator. And the whole idea is the whole idea is to switch rapidly between these dimensions at the right times for the right reasons and basically navigate your way through the game. For instance, one thing is a sheet of breakable glass in front of you. So you turn yourself to the fluffy dimension, then pick up a safe, which is a pillow, you hurl it at the glass, and just before it reaches, you switch back to the normal dimension, where the pillow becomes a gigantic safe again, smashes through the glass, and then you can jump through just without a problem. And there's a lot of other stuff like that, like, for instance, with the slow motion dimension, there's a gap, so you throw an object into the gap, then you slow it down, and suddenly the object slows down, and then you just take a running jump, jump on the object in slow motion, and jump to the next section. And of course, how you throw these combinations is also a lot of fun. One example, towards the end of the game, you know, you can, like, throw an object forward, go to the fluffy dimension, throw an object forward, then go to the slow motion dimension, jump on the object, and then quick turning on and off the anti-gravity. So you turn it on first and the table goes up and it pushes you upwards, and then you turn it off and it goes downwards again, and then you just keep flipping between it, so you go up and down, but the whole time you're moving forward, so you're basically surfing like a table through the air, and it's all a bit of fun. You do that a couple of times, so yeah, I mean, it's a good fun game. There's a lot of good mechanics to it, and you know, it can be a little frustrating, because sometimes you have to make a lot of jumps and a lot of chasms and stuff, but it's got a nice aesthetic, the dialogue is nice, and like I said, the music is pretty good, and ambient and everything. So, yeah, it's on multiple platforms, the PC, I believe, in the consoles as well. But enough about that. I think it's almost time to play the ending theme of this game, which will also be the ending theme of today's show. So I want to thank you all for listening. This has been David Collins with BitNote. I hope you enjoy, and here we have Flip a Switch by Chris Ballew.
Then I flip a switch and fluffy is everything. Plush and sweet and soft and pink. I flip a switch and heavy is everywhere. Crash to the ground from out of the air. I flip a switch and time goes down, down, down. Stretching thin and stretching out. I flip a switch and lose the gravity. Light as a feather and floating free. Mystery, what's gonna happen to me? Then I flip a switch and fluffy is everything. Plush and sweet and soft and pink. I flip a switch.
stretching thin and stretching out.
Then I flip a switch and lose the gravity. Light as a feather and floating free. Shiver, shake, what will it take? It might explode, so I better go. Bam, boom, I gotta get through. Can't you see it's a mystery? What's gonna happen to me? Switch and Fluffy.